Welcome everyone to today's webinar entitled The Royal London Financial Results 2023. This is Marcel and I'm your producer for today. During the presentation, your lines remain on listen-only mode. If you require assistance at any time, please put a message in the chat box. I'd like to advise all parties this webinar is being recorded. And with that, I'd like to hand it over to Daniel Cazot. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Marcel. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. My name is Daniel Cazot, and I'm the Group Chief Financial Officer for Royal London. I'm joined today by Ant Lee, our Group Chief Actuary, Ian Williams, our Group Finance Director, and Rob Ferguson, our Group Treasurer. This morning, we published our 2023 annual results, and during this call, I'll be referring to the presentation on screen. For those of you who pre-registered for the event, we emailed you a copy earlier. You can also find a copy of the presentation and our results announcement on the Investor Relations page on our website. Moving to the first slide and the agenda for this morning's call. I will tell you through the highlights of what we have delivered during 2023 before giving an overview of our financial performance, including new business, assets and flows, and outlining the strength of our balance sheet and capital position. After that, I'll open up to questions. Before we get into the detail, I'd like to start by highlighting some of the key points from today's announcement. So moving to slide three. In 2023, we remain committed to our strategy of being an insight-led modern mutual, growing sustainably by deepening customer relationships. Our mutuality enables us to continue to focus on the long term and to put our members and customers firmly at the heart of our decision making. Over the year, we delivered a 19% increase in group operating profit before tax, up to £249 million, driven by growth in new business contribution, active management of our cost base, and the positive impact of higher risk-free rates. Our capital position remains robust, with the InvestorView capital cover ratio increasing to 218%, which includes the benefit from the reduction in the risk margin arising from Solvency II reforms. That's something I'll come back to shortly. The strength of our continued performance has enabled us to maintain the same level of profit share allocation rates. We'll be sharing £163 million with eligible customers in April, boosting the value of their savings, while also continuing to invest in our business for the long term. The breadth and depth of our investment offering attracted over £4 billion in net inflows, an increase of nearly £500 million year on year, supported by strong active investment performance. Alongside this, our flagship government range also continues to attract inflows, with assets reaching £60 billion compared to £53 billion at the end of last year. Overall, group assets under management increased to £162 billion, reflecting the positive flows and market movements, particularly in the second half of the year. Turning now to slide four and highlights from each of our business units. Starting in the UK, our workplace pensions business grew over 2023, with new business sales increasing by 4% after adjusting for the increase in the discount rate. This reflects a significant increase in pension consolidation volumes, along with more employers choosing Royal London as their pension provider. Over the year, the business welcomed over 930 new workplace pension scheme employers and over 240,000 new scheme members. Our pensions business continues to be supported by the relative performance of our flagship government range, which is the default fund for many of our workplace pension schemes, attracting net inflows of £3 billion, with assets under management increasing to £60 billion. Overall, UK new business margin increased by a third over the year to 1.9%, supported by active management of our cost base. In April, we further strengthened our position in the UK protection market through the agreement with Aegon to acquire its closed UK individual protection book of over 400,000 policies, which are expected to transfer to Royal London in the second half of 2024, subject to the completion of a court-approved Part 7 transfer. The advised nature of the book makes it an excellent strategic fit. In January this year, we completed the acquisition of the remaining stake in the Responsible Group, which is made up of Responsible Life and Responsible Lending, a later life mortgage broker and lender. This acquisition enables us to deliver innovative solutions and scale what we offer in what we believe will be a growing market, especially among those who have property wealth but insufficient pension savings to support their desired standard of living. We have also continued to build our annuity capabilities by completing two bulk buy-in transactions with Royal London Pension Schemes. Through these transactions, we have continued to develop our offering in advance of an intended participation in the bulk purchase annuities market, focused on providing a competitive solution to the trustees of defined benefit pension schemes. I will talk more about these transactions later in the presentation. Moving on to asset management, Group assets under management increased to £162 billion, despite the global economy facing uncertainty due to inflationary pressures, monetary tightening, and geopolitical events. Net inflows remained strong, increasing to £4.2 billion, supported by higher external net inflows into global equity strategies. This was partially offset by lower internal net inflows as more customers accessed their pensions. Our three-year performance track record remains strong despite external market conditions, with 96% of actively managed funds outperforming their three-year benchmarks as at the end of December. RLAM's diverse offer, founded on a commitment to responsible investing, is attracting growing international interest, successfully winning its first Japanese institutional mandate. As we continue to expand our international footprint, we also registered a select number of funds in Scandinavia, positioning ourselves for future growth outside our home market. Engagement on a spectrum of ESG issues is fundamental to our responsible investing approach, with our engagement themes helping ensure we stay focused on topics important to clients and society. As part of our net zero commitment, we have identified and engaged with 36 companies who represent 52% of our overall financed emissions, with the aim of improving the alignment of our highest emitting companies with a net zero pathway. We have also continued to invest in modernizing RLAM's infrastructure. During the year, we enhanced core operational systems to support future growth, completing the implementation of BlackRock's Aladdin Investment Management Technology Platform. This is a transformational landmark that will provide the bedrock for continuing to deliver a first-class experience for our customers. Our Irish business had another successful year, delivering record new business sales of 230 million pounds. Our pensions business in Ireland, which was launched in September 2022, has grown steadily throughout the year, and we have continued to invest in enhancing and developing our offering. Despite the reduction in the mortgage market, we retained our position as the clear market leader in the Irish broker protection market. Sales of our protection products grew again to £179 million when the impact of the higher discount rate used to value our new business sales is removed. This continuing strong performance reflects our focus on helping customers and their families to protect themselves and build their financial resilience. Turning now to slide five, which sets out the key financial highlights from our business. I will quickly cover some of the headline numbers as I will talk through the new business sales, assets flows, and our balance sheet and capital position in more detail over the coming slides. As I referenced, group operating profit before tax for the year was up 19% to £249 million. This increase was driven by growth in new business contribution, a strong focus on costs in the higher inflationary environment, and the positive impact of higher risk-free rates. The transfer to the Fund for Future Appropriations, or FFA, was £382 million compared to a transfer of £162 million from the FFA in 2022, as the increase in operating profit before tax was bolstered by positive economic movements. Life and pensions new business sales reduced in value as higher interest rates decreased the present value of new business premiums. I will walk you through the details of the new business numbers on the next slide. But we saw steady levels of net inflows, which, combined with the positive market movements, contributed to an increase in our assets under management. A full breakdown of the components of operating profit can be found in the appendix. Our capital position remained robust, with a regulatory review capital cover ratio at the end of December of 206%, with the same as at the end of 2022, and an investor view ratio of 218%, up from 213% at the previous year end, benefiting from the Solvency II changes. Managing our capital base effectively is a key priority for us. Our hedging programs ensure the stability of our capital through periods of market volatility. Turning now to slide six and new business sales. Before I talk through the numbers in detail, I want to remind you of the impact of the higher interest rate environment on how we value the business we write, including the rate used to discount future cash flows. As I referenced at the half year, life and pensions new business is reported using economic assumptions set at the start of the reporting period. The increase in the risk-free rate over 2022 significantly impacts the comparability of new business metrics between 2022 and 2023. This also leads to a higher discount rate being used in the valuation of the new business we have written, which reduces the present value of the same premium amount compared to last year's results. This impact is most significant on longer duration businesses, which have regular cash flows, in particular workplace pensions and regular premium protection business. Overall, life and pensions new business sales were down at 9.3 billion pounds. However, new business contribution increased 13% to 184 million pounds. This was driven by higher flows into our workplace pensions business and an improved contribution in our U.K. protection business following our exit from the over-50s life insurance market. These more than offset the impact from the reduction in defined benefit pension transfers following rises in interest rates. New business margins increased across most propositions due to an increase in pension consolidation volumes, a change in discount rates, and careful management of our acquisition costs. Overall, our new business margin improved by a third across the year. Turning to the breakdown of our sales in the U.K. across the different products. New business sales from individual pensions decreased to 4.3 billion pounds, with higher interest rates impacting defined benefit transfer volumes. This was partially offset by increased volumes over the tax year-end period, following changes announced by the government to lifetime allowances. Positively, more customers chose to stay with Royal London as they moved into retirement. Workplace pensions new business sales of 3.8 billion pounds reflect a significant increase in pension consolidation volumes, along with more employers choosing Royal London as their pension provider. Combined with management of our acquisition costs, this resulted in a near doubling of new business margin to 1.9%. U.K. protection new business sales were lower at 760 million pounds. This was impacted by the interest rate increases, with the 2022 results benefiting from a one-off transfer of a funeral investment plan of 100 million pounds. However, following the actions taken at the end of 2022 to manage the cost base, which included exiting the over-50s life insurance market, the new business margin increased to 3% compared to 1.1% at the end of 2022. While there was an increase in underlying volumes, annuities and other new business sales declined to 164 million pounds as higher interest rates impacted average policy sizes. However, margins improved to 8.5% as new business contribution increased. In Ireland, new business sales grew 13% to 230 million pounds, primarily through increased pension sales following the successful launch of the pensions product in 2022. New business margin decreased to 4.8%, which reflects the relatively higher costs as we continue to grow our pension offering to scale. Turning now to annuities and our matching adjustment portfolio. Our annuity proposition was launched in 2021, providing access to a Royal London annuity for long-standing customers invested in the Royal London CIS sub-fund with pension policies that have guaranteed annuity rates. Our matching adjustment portfolio increased to 1.3 billion pounds, up from 0.7 billion pounds last year. Total new business volumes from annuities decreased by 15% to 162 million pounds, reflecting higher bond yields, which reduced the average value of customers' pots at retirement. As well as providing an option for long-standing customers to remain with Royal London, we transferred 197 million pounds net of reinsurance of existing annuity business into our matching adjustment portfolio within the Royal London main fund. As I mentioned earlier, we have completed two bulk buy-in transactions with the intention of establishing a presence in the bulk purchase annuity market and providing a competitive solution to the trustees of defined benefit pension schemes. In November, we transacted a bulk annuity buy-in policy with the trustees of the Royal Liver Pension Scheme. This covered all the benefits of the scheme for all deferred pensioners and current pensions, removing the investment and longevity risk for the members of the scheme. In addition, we entered into a separate policy in January 2024 with a trustee of the Royal London Group Pension Scheme, which partially covers the benefits of the scheme. Alongside the development of our bulk purchase annuity offering, we have continued to develop our asset capability, increasing investment in commercial real estate loans and adding private placement loans to our portfolio. I'd now like to turn to assets and flows on slide 8. Group assets under management increased to 162 billion pounds, driven by net inflows of 4.2 billion pounds, along with positive market movements. External net inflows were strong at 3.3 billion pounds as a result of net inflows of 2.7 billion pounds into our global equity strategies, including RLAM's first Japanese mandate. This represents significant progress in RLAM's growth ambitions. We also saw net inflows of 1.4 billion pounds on short duration and cash products as investors took advantage of higher interest rates. Gross internal inflows were up at 9.7 billion pounds, and while our flagship government range continued to attract strong net inflows of 3.3 billion pounds, overall, our net inflows decreased as cost of living pressures led more customers to access money from their income release pension products to support their needs. Moving on to slide nine and our investment portfolio. Our total investment portfolio increased in value to £113.7 billion as a result of net purchases and increases in market value, primarily in equity and bond asset classes. Our financial investment portfolio remains well diversified across a number of financial instrument classes, with the majority invested in equity securities and fixed income assets. The pie charts on the slide demonstrate the breakdown of the non-linked debt securities and corporate bonds by asset rating. A significant proportion of our debt securities portfolio is in high-quality assets with a credit rating of A or above. In our non-linked portfolio, 77% of our non-linked debt securities and 69% of our non-linked corporate bonds had a credit rating of A or better at 31 December 2023. There have been no significant defaults in our corporate bond portfolio. On slide 10, we provide more detail about our capital cover ratios. Strength of our capital base is vital to ensure we have the capital to fund further growth and to give peace of mind to our customers that we can meet our commitments to them. We monitor our capital position closely given market volatility and wider global economic pressures, with the effective operation of our hedging programs ensuring the stability of our capital position through such periods. In May, we successfully issued a £350 million restricted Tier 1 contingent convertible bond. This is the first time an insurance mutual in the UK has issued restricted Tier 1 capital. We also completed the repurchase and cancellation of our £400 million Tier 2 2043 notes. These actions have enabled the group to improve its financial flexibility and create additional Tier 2 capital headroom. At the end of December, our Solvency II Group Investor View capital cover ratio was 218% compared to 213% at the end of December the previous year. And the Solvency II Group Regulatory Review capital cover ratio remains stable at 206%, the same as it was the previous December. This position also reflects a number of other changes in the year, including the reduction in the risk margin arising from Solvency II reforms, which are intended to allow capital to be used more effectively whilst ensuring that customers remain protected. You can find a breakdown of capital sensitivities and further details on our Solvency II ratios in the appendix. Moving on to slide 11 and the waterfall chart, which shows the movement in the group's solvency surplus over this reporting period. The group capital ratio remains stable with a solvency surplus of £2.9 billion. The contribution from all of our existing businesses offsets the strain from writing new business, as well as helping to support continued investment in the business. The management actions reflect the impact of the acquisition of the Aegon UK protection book, the full reporting impact of the RT1 issuance and Tier 2 tender and early redemption, as well as some adjustments to our equity hedging position to reflect the year-end balance sheet. As you can see on the right-hand side of the chart, the reduction in the risk margin arising from Solvency II reforms I referenced earlier has boosted the investor ratio by 14%. You can also find the group regulatory view movements in the appendix. And finally, before we open to questions, turning to slide 12 and to summarise. Our results for 2023 demonstrate the progress we are making in delivering our strategy. The enhancements and investments we have made in our business continue to support customers and advisors' evolving needs, while enabling us to generate sustainable returns. The increase we delivered in operating profit before tax is a reflection of that progress. This increase was primarily driven by the demand for our workplace pensions range, which was supported by the positive performance of our flagship government range. We also saw our asset management business continue to deliver strong active fund performance while expanding our international footprint, attracting flows in the UK and from abroad. And in Ireland, record new business sales have helped us to retain a clear leadership position in the broker protection market as we continue to grow our recently launched pensions business. We have extended our capabilities, strengthening our presence in key markets, for example, through our agreement to acquire Aegon UK's individual protection business. And we are continuing to build capabilities in advance of an intended participation in the bulk purchase annuities market, where we'll be focusing on providing a competitive solution to the trustees of defined benefit pension schemes. Underpinning all of this, our capital position remains robust, allowing us to continue to invest in our business for the long-term benefit of our customers, employers, and financial advisors. At this point, I'd like to pause, and together with the team, we'd be happy to take any questions you may have. I will now hand back to Marcel to begin the Q&A session.
If you wish to ask a question, please click on the raise hand icon at the bottom of your screen next to the unmute option. If you would like to withdraw your question, please click on the hand icon again. In case you joined using a phone, please key star 3. We have an incoming question where no name was recorded. We have another question come in from Tiago. Your line is open.
Tiago, hi.
Yes, hi. Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Thanks, Tiago.
One question on the annuities strategy, or maybe a couple of questions. One, how do you value that sort of move into the BPA space versus the alternatives of looking for further closed block acquisitions, you know, and whether they are, you know, sort of mutually exclusive or can sort of continue side by side? And what could be the appetites to or the constraints to write BPAs? You know, how much are you looking to target, or what is your limit in terms of how much you could put on the balance sheet every year? And then I have a follow up, but maybe I'll let you.
That's fine. Let me start with those. I suppose in terms of your first question around the blend between looking at other opportunities for use of capital versus the bulk purchase annuity market, you've seen our capital ratios at 218%, so sort of well above our minimum target levels. As we stand at the moment, I think we have the capacity to continue to look at both options in terms of organic growth and inorganic, and we continue to look at opportunities in the market as they arise for inorganic growth. In the context, though, of the annuities appetite, I think, you know, our intention is to look at the small to medium size end of the market using the strength of our brand and our reputation for service with pension trustees. I think you can probably look at the size of the transactions we have done with our internal pension schemes as an indication of the sort of the maximum limit of an individual transaction size that we would be looking to do. Obviously, it would depend a bit on market circumstances, but that one I think would be about the limit of an individual transaction. And broadly speaking, I would expect that our appetite would be anything up to £1 billion a year. Again, depending on market conditions as we go with that. We have a reasonable amount of capacity for longevity risk on our balance sheet, given the existing mix of our business. So certainly whilst we're building this up, I think we have the capacity to do that without a level of capital strain that would restrict our ability to look at inorganic opportunities as well. Just come back to the first part of your question. Happy to take a follow-up on that, Tiago, or your additional question.
We have another incoming question.
So could we go back to Tiago? I think Tiago had a follow-up question.
Yeah. Let me unmute you again, Tiago.
Yeah, hi. Sorry, I'm having trouble working out the unmute function. So on the appetite and these couple of follow-ups. One, what will be your use of reinsurance? You know, what are you thinking in terms of kind of striking the reinsurance sort of cover of any transaction you do? And generally, I mean, presumably, obviously, the answer is yes, but the PRA is comfortable with your internal model to write BPAs. But maybe give us a bit of color for how the discussions went, you know, how difficult has it been to kind of convince the regulator that your a partial internal model is kind of fit for this new phase?
Yeah, sure. So so if I take the reinsurance part first, so in the short term, I don't particularly expect us to take advantage of any reinsurance as we start to write new business. As a reference, we have a reasonable capacity for longevity risk on our balance sheet. I think that will evolve over time, you know, over the course of the next few years, and depending on how the new business flows run. But we are not dependent upon reinsurance in the short term, and we certainly haven't used any reinsurance in the context of the two internal transactions that we have done. In terms of engagement with the regulator, as you'll know, we had approval for our matching adjustment portfolio and internal model in 2021, and we've been building them up, as I referenced. It's nearly doubled over the course of 2023 in terms of the size of the book. And I suppose with the RLGPS transaction, even further in January of this year. As you'd expect, we remain in sort of close engagement and discussion with the PRA on future plans, including additional asset classes in the MA portfolio, where, as you'd expect, they would expect us to have those assets on our balance sheet and being managed, or at least with the capabilities around them before we start to put them in the MA portfolio. And they want to ensure that we have the right skill sets and capabilities to be able to manage the different risks that come from a bulk purchase annuity business. We have been building that capability over the course of the last 18 months at least, and have been demonstrating that capability to the PRA throughout, and I expect ongoing discussions with them as we go further.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thanks, Tiago. Sorry, Marcel, back to you.
We have a caller on the line with no name visible. Your line is open. Please introduce yourself.
Good morning, everybody. Sorry, it's Marcus Rivaldi here at Jefferies. I'm dialing in, so not on the on choice on the web. But got a couple of questions, please. Good morning, everybody. Again, linking back to some of Tiago's previous questions, but just for more detail, could you give us, first of all, how sizable in terms of liabilities were the two internal transactions that you talked about today, in terms of helping you build capabilities around entering the bulk annuity market? Secondly, thanks for giving the guidance around, you know, how much you would like to be doing each year. You said, I think, £1 billion per annum. I guess that would that therefore... You are being linked to a much larger transaction down the in the press back in January. I guess what you're pointing to is a much more, shall we say, considered and steady entry to the marketplace than sort of a big bang, you know, £6 billion type of entry into the marketplace. And then thirdly, again, all around this topic, around the capabilities, do you talk a bit about particularly more in the sort of alternative illiquid asset space capabilities that you have, where you think you are at the moment in terms of developing those capabilities to be very much an active and competitive participant in the bulk annuity space? And then I'll have a follow-up to something else, but if you could touch on those first, that'd be great.
Yeah, that's fine. And morning, Marcus. I suppose just in terms of those two transactions, so the one in November was about £250 million. The one in January was £340 million, so combined, so the £600 million. And the second, which was with the Royal London Group Pension Scheme, you know, is, I'd probably describe as it's a bigger pension scheme, and we'll be continuing to engage with the trustees on that and future tranches going forward. I mean, clearly, we don't comment on market transactions or M&A as they go. I suppose, though, there's a blend in this between our considerations for building capability and scale through inorganic activity versus organic. What I can clearly talk about is the organic aspect. In terms of that sort of guidance of £1 billion, I mean, I suppose, just to be clear, you know, don't expect it to start arriving in the first 6 months of 2024. There are still some steps we need to do to build that. And I suppose that then links to your other question on capabilities. So I've referenced our capabilities on the insurance side. So on the asset side, we've currently been using RLAM's capabilities on the credit side very successfully and have managed to maintain an MA rate primarily built off UK credit that I think compares very, very favorably with our peers. In terms of building illiquid asset capability, thus far we have, you'll see it in the presentation, we have about 11% allocation to commercial real estate loans and private placement debt. Those are external mandates to RLAM, and we've taken out external mandates whilst we're building capability in RLAM. I'm sure some of you are aware that we have started to recruit into RLAM to build that private asset capability, partly to support annuities, but also more broadly RLAM's position. And I suppose following the very same approach we've taken on how we've built out RLAM's external capabilities, we've done that by making sure that we are looking at asset classes that are that work with the insurance business and can be externalized. That is something that we are actively building and recruiting into, and I would expect that over time we will become less and less reliant on external asset managers and more on RLAM itself.
Thank you. And again, you talked about the results today, actually, in terms of the AUM and other businesses' investment in RLAM capabilities. Is that what that in part was touching on, that build out of the more liquid space?
Yeah, so the investment in RLAM, I think, is in a number of areas. So it's in part building out liquid asset capabilities. It's in partly the reference to putting in place BlackRock's Aladdin solution to give us some core infrastructure to support the growth of the business. It's also building out the international distribution capability. I've referenced what we're doing in both Japan and Scandinavia. Obviously, all of this supported by some really, really quite strong investment performance across the active management, the active portfolios. And we're also continuing to build in other areas. So our real estate portfolio is currently running at about £9 billion in RLAM and growing strongly as we increase the lot sizes that we invest in, given the size of the portfolio that's in both the government range and the long-term funds.
Got it. Just one couple of other things. So are you a signatory to the Mansion House Compact in terms of pushing on further into sort of more private assets? And then the last one for me was just really on, you mentioned about consumer duty. Are you seeing any risks or potential for any remediation costs coming your way from any legacy issues? Just standard question, given what's going on more broadly there.
Yep. No, that's fine. So firstly, on the Mansion House Compact, so we were not signatories to the Mansion House Compact, but let me explain why. I think whilst we are supportive of the intentions of the compact, it was limited to some very specific asset classes. From our perspective, and given the nature of our business, we would need to be investing in assets primarily through the government range. We have a relatively high allocation relative to number of our peers to illiquid assets through our real estate capability that I've already referenced. The compact does not include real estate. And whilst we continue to look at some of those asset classes, there are quite significant constraints to putting some of those in our core default arrangements for workplace pensions, given the charge gap constraints. So I say supportive of the intention, but our allocations are in different assets at the moment. And then on consumer duty, so we have completed our work on the open book and certainly from our perspective have no significant issues arising from that. I think the very nature of the of our products and how we operate, that was very much our expectation. We are working through our long-standing customer book. At this point in time, I'm not aware of anything of significant concern, but that work remains ongoing.
Thank you very much.
Not at all. Thanks, Marcus. Marcel?
Currently, we have no more questions. You want me to repeat the instructions?
Yeah, just one time. If anybody else has a question, that'd be great. Thank you.
No worries. If you wish to ask a question, please click on the raise hand icon at the bottom of your screen next to the unmute option. If you'd like to withdraw your question, please click on the hand icon again. In case you joined using a phone, press star 3.
Thanks, Marcel. I'm working on the basis of, as you hadn't said, there's no more questions. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. In which case, we can close it there. Thank you, everybody, for your questions and your time this morning. As always, if you want to discuss anything further, Rob and his investor relations team are available to support. Happy to do any follow-up questions. Thank you all again for joining, and have a good day.
Thank you, everyone. That marks the end of your webinar. Thanks for joining. Have a nice day.